It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, and we have a club championship draw to talk about. Special episode to look ahead to the season of club football. It's the time of year when everyone can sit down with their respective teammates and their fellow fans in the pub and just go, right, now we know where we stand. The draws were made this evening. It had some of us craning our heads to try and make sense of what was going on. More on that anon. Mike Finnerty, welcome along.
I'm glad you got that in, Rob. I had it on my things we must mention at some point during the pod. Landscape. I was always a big fan of the landscape angle myself. But we got there. We got there in the end, and the draw passed off without any major incident. And by God, there's someone to talk about it tonight. The club championship mightn't be happening for a couple of months, but the ball is in terms of the build up. Anyway, yeah, we're up and running.
Edwin McGrail, how are things out in Ackle?
Good now, Rob. Yeah. It's really nights like this that you're really starting to anticipate the club season ahead. And I know that our next guest will fill us in more about, you know, when you're part of the playing group, what it's like. But it's just it whets the appetite, and it gets us thinking about when the intercounty season is over and all the great club games that we have to look forward to. So yeah, bring it on.
For me, Ger Flanagan, welcome along, first of all. And secondly, it's times like this where you suddenly realise, oh my God, yeah, Mayo Gaels are senior and things like that. You know, it's that moment where, you know, you've been watching all these teams playing around in the preseason tournaments and forgetting what level they're actually at. And then this comes out and you're like, these are real deal, these teams.
I know, I remember last year too when we... When I was watching the draw and you're seeing Bal come up against all the big dogs that we've been looking at for the last 2 years, thinking, yeah, it's a bit of a pinch me moment. And I'd say it was the same for the Mayo Gaels boys. And I'd say when they saw Ballintubber and Westport coming out of the hat, it was definitely a real kind of right, we're here now, lads. But yeah, no, as Ed said, it's great excitement. We're in the middle of a warm-up there tonight when word filtered through about the group. And just focus a bit more.
One game at a time. We have a big game next weekend. Is that what was being said?
That's your Ger Butler impression there, Rob, was it?
Yeah. how was it, lads? I need to work on it.
Yeah, Ger Butler actually let a big roar from the clubhouse as he was watching the stream, I think, on Mayo G, and we heard him during the warm-up, we were wondering what was going on.
Was that when you got Brafe, yeah?
Exactly.
You don't have too far to travel anyways. You won't get the mileage in that group, Jared. There's a lot of the two local derbies in there anyways. I'm not sure where you're playing Belmullet.
At home in Bath.
Handy.
Thank God.
Handy.
We already made the trip down to Belmullet a couple of weeks ago there in the Michael Walsh and got Belmullet in all its glory, wind and rain and a low scoring affair. And yeah, that was enough for this year.
Mike, I'm conscious that there's people tuning in Sydney and New York and anywhere else, and they're not Twitter aficionados like ourselves and may not actually know the full makeup of the draw. So your job to start the show anyways is to give us the details with the senior championship first of all.
Yeah, I feel like that guy does the classified results on the BBC. You're building me up here all evening, Rob, for my big moment. So the Connacht Gold Mayo Senior Club Football Championship 2022. There's a group of death in there. There's also a few groups of, I've decided to call them, I'm only middling. If you ask them to describe how they feel after being drawn in the group. And then there's arguably a group in there as well that kind of is akin to how you feel on the Friday evening of a bank holiday weekend. Okay, that's what I'm going with. Well, anyway, group one, you can figure out which is which. Group one, Ballintubber, Mayo Gaels, the Neil and Westport. Now that is tasty. That's group one. Group two, Knockmore, the county champions, Ahamore, Ballahedrine, and Ballina Stephenites. Now, I'm attaching group of debt to that one right there. That's the one that jumps out for me in terms of being the one that everyone would want to avoid. Group three, Ball, Belmullet, Claremorris, and Brafe. I'd say nobody's too... you know, massively disappointed, and nobody's doing cartwheels either in that group, because everybody will feel, knowing people from all four clubs, everybody will feel that they can beat each other. And then group four, oh, this is another really, really attractive looking group. It's one of those groups that if you can get to as many games as possible. You'll want to be getting to as many of these as you can. Castlebar Mitchells, Charlestown, Gary Moore, and Davits. They're the four groups in the senior championship.
Well built up. I like, do we have to ascribe these titles to the groups, even though we know what they are? Edwin, I'll give you the first one, and I think Mike is suggesting that this is the one where you might have a little bit of a sore head. Ballintubber and Westport safely say they're the favourites to go through, and Mayo Gales shot to nothing. And the Neil, without Tommy Conroy, might be the outsiders.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up there for me, Rob, fairly well. I think, Ballintubber and Westport, it will be a big surprise not to see them emerge from the groups, from that group. Mayo Gales, first game in senior championship since their intermediate championship win last year, away at Clogher. There's not many trickier venues to go to, but I'm sure they'll relish it too, going just down the road to their neighbours. When you're a team up from intermediate, you're looking at staying up in the first year, really, really and truly. And Mayo Gales will be looking at this, and they'll be looking at the game against Dunedin, and Dunedin will be looking at it likewise. That whoever can win that more than likely avoids going into the relegation playoffs, and whoever loses it might be just coming under a little bit of pressure going into the playoffs. So yeah, it looks straightforward in terms of who will qualify for the quarterfinals, but Mayo Gales versus Dunedin, that will be an awful lot will ride on that game.
Sure, I was driving a short way home from the heavy traffic after Mayo Galway, and I noticed the Mayo Gales flags are still up. So there was a couple of areas where I used to think it was Ballintubber, and then I went, oh, actually, this is Mayo Gales territory. That, like, from an outsider point of view, you know one side of that rivalry. What's the other side of that rivalry likely to be? How are they feeling about that game?
Don't mention the war there, Rob. Ballintubber, them flags have been coming into ball there for a long time as well, and slowly but surely we've been pushing them out the opposite direction, and and the Gales are trying to do that now as well. So yeah, well, we've been right back in the periphery now at the minute. I'd say, look, the Gales will be excited. Knowing the Gales, they won't fear Ballintubber. They'll be absolutely, I think, buzzing to get going. They'll want to avoid Westport in the first round, I think. I'm not fully sure for the fixtures, but if they have done that, I think they'll be pretty satisfied. But I think the Gales and the Ballintubber is going to be a right dinger.
Mike, you're up. Let's talk group two. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, and just before I do, Rob, first round game, Mayo Gales going to Ballintubber. What a prospect. What a prospect. I just want to get my speak in now. I'd like to cover that one for
go for it.
Loads of different reasons. Yeah, group two.
Talk to the boss, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to send myself an email actually now, first thing tomorrow morning, see if I can get the go ahead.
How are you fixed?
Yeah, group two. Knockmore, Ahamore, Ballahedreen, Ballina, Stephenites. Ray Dempsey, Paddy Finnegan, Paul McHugh, and Niall Heffernan. They won't sleep much tonight, those four lads, I can tell you. They are already running through the permutations and running through the logistics of group two. This is group of death. This is going to be a celebrity death match from the first minute of the first game, because no matter what way you carve it up, there's the potential here for a big hitter to be out. By the end of the group stages. Ballahedreen, no Andy Moran. Well, I say no Andy Moran, but sure, you just never know, do you? Andy could easily rock up in a pair of Puma Kings, or with 2 weeks of training done and probably run the show. Ahamore will feel there's way more in them than they showed last year. But for me, two of the big three in the club championship are in that group. So Knockmore, Ballina, Stephenites is the one that I'd be really, really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's a real mouth-watering group looking at it. And I know Ballahedreen would have been a little bit disappointed. They just missed out on the quarterfinals last year, and they had a couple of injuries. Obviously, if Andy is gone, who knows? But if he is gone, he's a big, big loss. But Ballahedreen will feel they have a thing or two to say about that, and Ahamore as well. Ahamore have been in quite a few quarterfinals, but they'll earn it if they get out of that group. Yeah, you looking at it on the face of it, Knockmore and Ballina will be favourites to advance, but it's there's going to be a few big games in it.
Sure, your thoughts. I mean, are Armagh, could you see them doing it? Could they upset the odds? Like the last couple of years now, they've just fallen short, I guess, of where they wanted to be. Or is it the three sides going for it?
That's a real group of debt, because I think Armagh vastly underachieved and are vastly underachieving. They bet us last year in a relegation semi-final and bet us fairly comfortably in the end. For the players they have, I think they shouldn't have been in a relegation. I think the system they play as well, it's quite defensive. It's a game plan where you're trying to contain the other team. So when you're playing that kind of game plan, you always have the potential to catch someone out. If the weather conditions are in your favor, you get the home draw in your favor. You always have potential to catch teams out. And, they have good scoring forwards. Will Alan Freeman come back like he did last year? I'm pretty sure he came back for the first few rounds, I think. Unbelievable addition. Probably won't be in the best shape or in champion shape, but, he'll still score. And obviously with Fergal Boland there, an unbelievable talent at club level with a potential and the ability to win a game on his own. I absolutely would not rule out Armagh taking a scalp in that group.
And having said that, though, Brendan Harrison's going to be a massive loss now. I know Brendan obviously hasn't played a whole pile of club football the last few seasons anyway with injury, but you can imagine the difference he would make to come back in fully fit, fully firing into that Armagh defence. And now, obviously, the news this week that he's going to be on the sidelines again for a while. I think you're right. If Alan Freeman was to come back, it would be a big help. But we'll talk, I know, a little bit more about it shortly in terms of our favourites and who we think will go on and win the thing. But to me, Knockmore, Ballina, that's the one. I see it's in round two. It's in Ballina as well. That's going to have a big bearing, obviously, on the group. But I think you're also going to be looking at, potential county champions there as well. Knockmore going for three in a row. I can only imagine how that's going to be driving them. That's going to be a huge, huge driving force for them. And no more than everybody else, injuries is going to be a big thing. Can they keep everybody fit? Can they get Darren McHale back to his best? Can Kevin McLaughlin, go to the well one more time? But I think if you ask anyone to Knockmore, I know they had their dinner dance a few weeks ago. I would imagine the big talking point or the big driving force, the big motivation for them is let's go and do three in a row, lads. And stick it to the neighbours in Crossmolina and Ballina and show them that we're we're every bit as good as they were in their pomp,
I think Ballina are well as going to be. They're going to be chomping to beat Knockmore in the group stages, because they owe them one at this stage. They owe them a big win. What are Ballina going to be like this year? Evan Regan, I think, is going to be gone for the summer. Has he taken up a nutrition post with the UFC? In some form, some shape or form, so I think that's going to be gone. He's going to be gone for the summer. Don't know when he's going to be back, but he'll obviously be without a summer of football. And he's one of their best talents. But Ballina are stacked with good footballers. Should have bet Westport really last year in Bacon. In those conditions, came unbelievably close to what would have been one of the performances of the campaign. I really, really like the look of Ballina if they keep progressing the way they are. They have a lot of good young lads coming up there. Like, I think Sam Callanan is going to be a massive player this year as well. Frank Irwin is another year under his belt. It'll be a cracker. Looking forward to your interview with Pádraig O'Hara after the first round game, Mike. Any war of words this year?
Pádraig, in fairness, if he does stand behind a microphone, he won't be found wanting. In my experience, anyway. Yeah.
When you can talk to county players, aren't they the best of days? Edward, we're moving on to Group 3 and Ball, Belmullet, Claremorris and Brafey. I'm loath to go to Dure on this for a little while, so I'm going to you. not that you don't have a vested interest in all of this as well, but
I think it's only fair if you go to both of us, to be honest, to balance the books.
I think we'll
you know,
go back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, it's clearly like the safe bet is you're both going to say Claire Morris and Bell Mullish are the ones to watch, and we'll see what happens. Isn't that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Brave I know. Brave, the ones to watch.
Edwin, I'm going to throw it at you straight away. There's a lot of talk out there that Bell Mullish won't be able to repeat the trick. They love that talk, but is that where they are right now, do you think?
I think they're under pressure, all right. I did make an argument for them winning the county title last year ahead of the county final, and Knockmore just had were too smart for them on the day and didn't fall into the trap that Brafey and Westport fell into. I think the trouble Bell Mullet have, the biggest issue I see for them is Ono Donoghue was such a big loss. You know, he was so central to what did. And there was an element of the unknown about them last year. And there was an element of complacency, I think, from teams thinking, oh, they'd find a way. I think their cards have been marked now. So it was such a massive season for Bell Mullet. But to put it back together and do it again, it's going to be a big, big ask, especially with, I would say, one of the best five footballers in the club championship last year in Ono Donoghue. Now, obviously, any team that has Ryan O'Donoghue, who was my player of the championship last year, he's going to take some amount of watching. But no, I think they're definitely a team that are, you know, going to be pushing for the knockout stages and see where that takes them. But it's going to be hard for them to get to a county final again, I would say. But it's going to be a couple of interesting clashes there, all right. So I see Brafey are away to Clamars and Gerald be delighted that Ball are home to Bell Mullet, and then Brafey at home to Ball in the second round. I had a quick look online there to see on the archives when Brafey last played Ball in championship, and it was 2003, a West Mayo junior semi-final in Castlebar, 115-105 in Brafey's favour. And Colin Sheridan was taking the freeze and a penalty for Ball on the evening. So there you go. I can confirm that no player playing.
Was it a Panenka?
It didn't describe it as such in the paper. It sounded like a straightforward enough penalty. But the incident around the penalty led to a Ball player getting sent off. And that was, I think, game over at that stage. But yeah, that's...
Who got sent off it?
I could let you have a guess, Ger, but it might be safer for me to just tell you. Conrad Golding.
You know something? I never would have guessed that name. didn't even come into my mind.
No, not at all. That was 19 years ago. So,
Ger, you were six,
10. Well, yeah. And nobody playing. Pat Fallon was full forward for Ball, and nobody playing that day is still playing now.
Rob, as one of the two neutrals on this call in terms of this group, just a couple of random thoughts there as Ed was talking. Bell Mullet are managed by Lee McHale, by the way. I'm not sure if all of our listeners would necessarily know that. As well as losing Ono Donoghue, they've lost Shane Nallan, of course. We will probably mention that when we get to intermediate championship discussions. Shane has moved to Lewisburg. There's a couple of the Barretts, I gather. I'm not quite sure if they're going to be involved or not. I think they may have gone abroad or gone travelling as well. So whether they'll be back remains to be seen. And then, of course, you've got Kevin Byrne has taken over in Clamaris, I gather. There's been a change of management there. And they're the great underachievers, like in senior championship football. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of a tune they can get out of themselves. Can they finally tap into and realise some of that outrageous underage potential that they just have been struggling to convert into senior results? And then you've got Brafey. I mean, you talk about underachievers. I know I say this every year, but like if Brafey don't go and do the thing soon, well, then that window of opportunity is going to close, because they've got obviously the most talented bunch of players in their club's history. They're now for the last, take your pick, 5, 6, 8 years. The O'Shea's obviously are not getting any younger. Is Shamey going to even play this year? I don't know. Colm Flynn is back. I gather he did a U-turn on his retirement thoughts. So he's going to try and get one more year out of himself. So yeah, there's plenty of food for thought, really, I suppose, with Group 3. And again, it's going to be an interesting few months as the four different managers try to plot their way through to round one.
Yeah, plotting their way out of the group stages. You're at this stage now, you're kind of established in this competition. Is it different? Is it different than this whole like, oh, we're just up, oh, all the excitement? Now it's like you just have to go get stuck down into the hard work. Is that fair?
Geez, Rob, I think you're giving us a small bit too much credit there, saying we're established. We just about survived a relegation battle last year. I think we're far from established, but we're there.
Alan Rope did that for many years, and we just considered ourselves senior for years. It was grand.
No, but look, it definitely, I think the gods have come round and looked down on us with definitely look a more favourable draw this year. And I say this with an absolute pinch of salt, because there's still no easy game there. But compared to where we were last year, coming up against, you know, Mitchell's Balladreen and Westport, you're looking at this one, and as Mike said it, you know, you're saying, right, we could beat all three on our day, and we could easily lose those games on another day. And I think every other team in the group is thinking the exact same thing. We definitely, without a doubt, we got the favourable draw having Belmullet at home for the first game. We were lucky there. Going to Brafe, it's not, I think, the worst thing in the world either. It's actually a lovely pitch. One of my favourite pitches in Mayo to play on. It's just up the road. It's not going to be hard to get up with that one. And Clamaris, actually, I mentioned this in passing to Mike the last day. I've never played Clamaris at any age group, at any level, in my entire career. So wow. It'll be a complete first for me. I have played in Clamaris pitch. We have the neutral, so that doesn't matter. But I know the younger lads on our team, the likes of Gary McGain and their group, they would have had a massive rivalry with Clamaris all the way up through their underage. And then skipping that generation on, there was absolutely no rivalry. So yeah, that'll be a dinger as well. I know Clamaris have been going well this year. They've started well. Obviously James McCormack is going to be with them full time now and a bit on, because he's not involved with the county squad. They should have David O'Reilly back, who picked up, you know, I think it was a ruptured Achilles over a year ago now. He's a massive player for them. And then you have Shocks, who's one of the most accurate footballers in Mayo. So yeah, look, I think Mike put it perfectly, and I'm not going to try and beat what he said about it.
I'm just wondering, Edwin, if it's a little bit Brafe versus Ball. Is that one of those rivalries where, like, it's not really going to dawn on Brafe until the day, and then it's just going to burn? Because, like, talk to me about that. You haven't really been at loggerheads, as you pointed out, but it could be it could be some atmosphere at that game.
Yeah, it's a funny one, like, that we haven't played Championship in that length of time, but the rivalry is still, I think, fairly fierce. There's still been plenty of clashes at underage all the way up, you know, and, like, look, at a lot of lads would know each other. Like, Manola would bring players from both Ball and Brafe for soccer. And look, but you're, you know, it's only the Manola River that separates the two clubs, like, you know, so yeah.
Sharing a sponsor as well now, Ed, this year.
Say that again.
Sharing a sponsor, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So yeah, no, look, there's definitely a rivalry there, and it'll definitely be one that it will jump out. It jumps out of the draw for Brafe, I'd say, as well. I'd be fairly safe to say that that's a game that a lot of people will be talking about, and I think there'll be a big crowd in Brafe that day for that game.
Was it NTL Cable Company that sponsored Celtic and Rangers at the same time? I think it was.
Good shout. Yeah.
I'm proud of that. Anyways, before we talk any more about that kind of stuff, we have the Intermediate Championship to get to, but we have one more group. Mike Finnerty.
Whatever about anything else, Rob, there was no way you were going to forget Group 4 in the Senior Championship anyway.
No, never happened.
Loads of different
edit just happened here.
Again, just to give you the cliff notes to Group 4, you've got Castlebar Mitchells, managed this season by Big Barry Moran and Neil Lydon. They've stepped up from playing, and in Barry's case, given the orders on the field, now he's going to be giving them on the sideline. His managerial debut sees him take over the Mitchells with Neil. They're playing Charlestown in round one. And, like, Charlestown, when you think how they managed to squeeze year on year, every drop out of themselves. You know, they're a great senior club, like Charlestown. You can never You can never underestimate them. You can never write them off. You know they're going to be fit. I'm sure there's been a gang of them in the gym with John Casey, I'd say, for months now. I know John takes on some of that pre-season work with relish with some of the Sarsfields lads every year. And that's a really...
Can only imagine.
Oh, like John Casey looks at the moment like he could tog himself for Charlestown, let's be honest. So I can only imagine the shape he'll have them in. That's round one and it jumps out. But so does Gary Moore at home to Davits. Like Gary Moore, who were a half an hour away from the big upset last year against Knockmore. I mean, I was at that game in the Centre of Excellence on a lovely Saturday night. And at halftime, it looked like Gary Moore were ready to take down the county champions. And obviously they didn't. Now Damien Egan and Danny McHugh, the chairman, and the rest of the club there, they've only gone out and brought in Kieran Fitzgerald and Kieran McGrath from Currafin. Kieran Fitzgerald and possibly Gizzy, I'm not sure, one or both have you know, got the paperwork done. Certainly Kieran McGrath anyway. So you could see them togging as well for Gary Moore at some point. That's another intriguing aspect to the story. And as you mentioned, Davits, Boilers back for another crack at the Senior Club Championship. And that's going to be a right... I'm a big fan of South Mayo derbies and Gary Moore.
Yeah, what's Davits, that derby like? What's that like, Mike?
That is tribal. That is going to be... That is going to be everything you can imagine it would be in terms of two rural clubs who live cheek by jowl in the heart of South Mayo meeting with... You know, it may be a round robin, it may be a group. That'll be knockout. That'll be played as if there isn't another game of football ever to be played by either team, I'd imagine. There's just so much at stake. Like they're neighbours, there's the bragging rights, and there's the opportunity to put themselves right in the mix to get out of what is a very, very competitive group.
Brilliantly covered by Mike. Jerry, you have one quick take on it. Anything you want to pick out?
Like, I think a lot of people will be looking at Davits and saying they're going to struggle, but you know, they're not the team they were 2 or 3 years ago. They aren't a struggling team. They've had a nice little influx of young players coming up through there. They've got a lot of good underage teams coming up. It's starting to feed into it. I know Tom Morley's involved in doing the training this year, and he came in last year actually towards the end of the year when they were struggling a bit, and I think he got a very good response to it. And I know a lot of lads say that his training actually was kind of the key for them staying up. Charlestown, as Mike said, great battlers, but you know, down Jack Riley this year has headed off to New York, and I think Niall Murphy could be out injured as well for the year. I think he possibly could have done the knee, so that's a massive loss for them as well. Like you absolutely would not rule out Davits as well, winning that one. I think Gary Moore are probably the team to watch. Castlebar, we don't know where they are. Really don't know where they are, but interesting group.
Edwin, Castlebar become the Dublin of our story really here, haven't they? Because there's just talent there, but people are starting to forget about them.
Yeah, I think in fairness, I think a lot of the players that you know, brought them to 3 in a row and got them to two All-Ireland club finals have either left stage centre or you know, are not at their peak anymore. Now they still have a lot of quality, but I think they've come down into the pack a good bit. And I look at that group, to be honest, and I could see no more than the previous group. I could see anyone beating anyone on the day, like, you know, like Davits against Gary Moore. That's going to be one hell of a game, and it's probably Mike has put nibs on Mayo Gales Ballantubber. I might put nibs on that one. So if we're in the business of calling games this far out, but yeah, I saw Davits a couple of times last year, and I agree with Jer. I think I thought last year if they could stay senior, they're coming, they're going in the right direction. They have a lot of good quality coming through. You know, a couple of Mayo under 20s this year as well. That's a very, very difficult group to call.
All right, we'll go group by group in the Intermediate Championship, Mike. We got more Senior Championship talk to finish the podcast when we're getting the lads that just nailed their colours to the mask in a little game we have, and pick your potential champions and make a case for them. But Mike, Intermediate Championship, let's go group by group and do your cliff notes. So group one.
You've got the Egan Jewellers Intermediate Championship, group one, Lewsburg, Crossmolina, Bonnie Conlon and Lahar Dawn. I suppose the first thing that jumps out is that, look, Lewsburg would be on most people's shortlist for being in the title conversation. Ronan O'Grady and Padraig O'Connor back again in terms of the management team. I mentioned they've brought in Shane Nallan. Now, I know they've lost a couple of lads at the moment anyway who have gone travelling, and the few boys are injured. But, you know, the championship is still a while away, and Ronan and Padraig are two very persuasive gentlemen. So Shane Nallan's a big addition. Cross Malina, look, any team that's packing Jordan Flynn and Conor Loftus and Fionnuala Duffy, three members of the Mayo senior squad, they're always going to be extremely competitive, to say the least. So they will feel, with a bit of luck, they're looking to get out with Lewsburg. And then obviously Bonnie Conlon and Lahar Dawn will probably feel they have a decent chance of turning maybe the neighbours over on on a given evening. But for me, it's Lewsburg and Cross Malina, and then Bonnie Conlon and Lahar Dawn are looking to avoid the wooden spoon, really.
Edwin, do you want to disagree with that?
No, I won't disagree with Mike at all. I do think Cross Malina and Lahar Dawn will be a ferocious local derby. But I think Lewsburg and Cross Malina should have a bit too much for the other two teams. But they might make us eat our words in time as well.
Sure. Anything you've seen different from that? Like, I mean, Bonnie Conlon had a good season last year.
Yeah, I think they probably overachieved. I thought they'd struggle, to be honest with you. I thought they'd be down in the relegation zone, but they managed to stay out of it. I think they're fortunate that they've got Lahar Dawn this year as well, because I think Lahar Dawn are going to struggle. They've lost Matthew Queen, and he's headed back out to New York. And he was a real, defensive rock for them. Obviously vice captain New York there a few years ago when Mayo played them, half of the massive bunch of players anyway, and I think that could be the tipping point for their year in their term or their time in intermediate.
Mike, group two, this is the big one. Don't know why I'm saying that.
Yeah, group two. Just before I do, Rob, just it's interesting the way the first round games have panned out in group one. You've got Lewsburg at home to Cross Malina and Bonnie Conlon at home to Lahar Dawn. So, you know, by the time those two games are over, the table will have already started to take shape, and you'll have the big two will have already met. So that's just maybe something to bear in mind. Yeah, group two, as a card-carrying member of Club Ballinrobe, Rob, I can see why you feel this is the big group. I'm sure Ballinrobe, Park, Kiltane and Burrishool supporters will all have reasons for feeling that way as well. First thing that jumps out at me, you're going to have a scenario when Ballinrobe play Park at last count, and I could be wrong here, you're going to have six, maybe seven Ballinrobe natives all along the sideline, standing 10 or 15 yards apart. Park managed, coached, selected, call it what you like, by three Ballinrobe men. And obviously Peter Ford has taken over his native club Ballinrobe as well. And just to square the circle, they're meeting in round one. So that's going to be, there'll be extra stewards, I'd say, in Flanagan Park that evening to make sure everything is nice and kosher. And then what about the other one, Kiltane and Burrishool? Where do you even start? Like, when you mention the words Kiltane and Burrishool and championship, all sorts of things and words and images pop into your head. The one word that just jumps out at me, ferocious. That will be ferocious because, again, there's just so much at stake in these first round games. You give yourself momentum, you give yourself a fighting chance of getting out of the group. And obviously there's so much to lose as well. So yeah, that group now is extremely hard to call.
Yeah, it looks that way, Edwin. It looks really competitive. There's four teams there that secretly, back of their minds, might be thinking final is well within their grasp at the start of the season, and yet they could be in a relegation playoff.
This is it, and it sums up the intermediate championship this year, that there's, you could draw a blanket over so many teams as contenders. There's more contenders, I would say, for the to win it than there are quarterfinal spots. There's more teams are contenders for winning it than are getting relegated. And yeah, this group is extremely hard to call. Park were moving so well last year until they met Ballyhaunas in the semi-final. Ballinrobe semi-final the year previous against Ball and ended up in free fall last year. But obviously the talent is still there. And then Kiltane just down. You know, they'll be obviously looking to go straight back up, but that'll be easier said than done this year with the level of competition. And Burrishule have been, you know, consistently knocking on the door for, you know, the last 15 years nearly. They've been contenders more often than they haven't been. So yeah, it's a real mouth-watering group.
Sure.
I think what makes that group as well so interesting is you have two very distinctive teams there and two very distinctive style of plays. Kiltane and Burrishule are, you know, very much experienced, very physical, where you have Ballinrobe in and Park are young, inexperienced, and they'll be just mad for running. Ballinrobe and Park are going to think that they're going to run Kiltane and Burrishule off the field. Kiltane and Burrishule are going to feel that they're going to be able to get on top and batter Ballinrobe and Park. So I think that makes it very, very interesting.
I think Jerry's booking a ticket for one of those games since we're all booking games. I think he's up for it. Send him there, Mike.
I think Jer is just guaranteed some audio clips will be flying around Kiltane and Burrishule and Ballinrobe and Park WhatsApp groups the lead into the championship as well. Group three, I'm guessing, Rob, you want me to move it on. You've got Ballyhaunas, Castlebar B, Ardnoree and Moy Davitts. And again, depending on where you're standing or what club colours you're wearing, this group is going to appeal to a lot of people, because you've got three teams, with no disrespect to the fourth, but you've got three teams here that will be very confident they can make a quarter final. First round, Ardnoree at home to Moy Davitts, Ballyhaunas at home to Castlebar B. Ballyhaunas beaten finalists last year. I can only assume Keith Higgins is going to go again, as in his own words. So what else would I be at? Castlebar B, you're not quite sure who they'll have until, you know, the championship rolls around, but you can be damn sure they'll have loads of really good, young, talented footballers. And then Moy Davitts, fresh from another county minor title. They've got so much potential. I got to see Ronan Clark in the flesh the last few weeks, the Mayo minor joint captain. He's a real special talent. So yeah, group three of the intermediate, I don't see too many easy games in there either.
Sure, Ballyhaunas have to get back at it. Can they do it?
Can definitely do it, no doubt about it. They were very unlucky not to do it last year. They, you know, almost, I can say, had the game won, but they were in a very, very strong position coming down the home stretch and made a few simple mistakes and threw it away. And no doubt about it, they'd be absolutely kicking themselves. I'd fancy them get out of that group. I think my Davitts are going to have a big say this year as well. Obviously, Brian Reap is going to be back after missing last year with a knee injury. I'd say he's going to be mad keen to go. They just won, I think, the under-18A county title a couple of weeks ago. They'll probably get a couple of lads from that, maybe three or four lads who'll come into the squad, freshen things up on it. And obviously, Ronan Clark is there. I'm not too sure if he's going to be old enough to play the championship this year, but an unbelievable talent. What a player. Oh, wow. I think he's going to be something else.
Great to see such growth there. Edwin, anything else to add to that group?
Yeah, I actually was very surprised by how competitive Castlebar Mitchells B were last year. They really were very well organised. They lost they beat Ballinrobe. Yeah. They lost to Cross Malina by a point, lost to Ballyhaunas by a point, and were extremely unlucky in both of those games. And they had a very clear split between the senior team and the intermediate team last year. And I think if they manage to, you know, have a consistent team for the season, I think they'll be, you know, they'll fancy their chances too. But yeah, I think Ballyhaunas are the team that stand out for me. But all four teams will be eyeing it up and thinking we can get to a quarterfinal here.
Mike, if you've anything to finish on that group, do, because then we got to get to group four. And my God, group four. I mean, nothing jumped out at me more than this group in the championship draw.
Apart from the fact that it now seems Ronan Clark, because I'm working off the old minor, Rob, of under 18, Ronan Clark may have to wait another year. So, spoiler alert, when he does get to play intermediate championship, you'll all love seeing them playing. They'll have to just rely on Anthony Jordan and Brian Reap, I suppose, will they? That really leaves them short up front when you consider the two lads might have to do the heavy lifting. Mother of God, I wouldn't like to see Anthony or Brian Reap now coming into me, in fairness, two serious operators. So, I agree, though. Ultimately, I think Ballyhaunas and Moy Davitts to get out of that group. And then you mentioned, group four. where do you start? Kilchuma, Hollymount Carrimore, Kilmina and Kilmaine. I mean, Kilchuma are still there and still will be there in the mix to win an intermediate, to get up and get out. God, if there's any justice in the world, I think they'll feel that surely their time is now. Hollymount Carrimore, obviously very competitive. There's going to be a huge emphasis on Darren Cohen and him kicking big scores, I suppose, when push comes to shove, as usual. Kilmina coming off the back of the All-Ireland Junior Club win. An awful lot expected of them by virtue of their age profile and Jack Kearney and, you know, the momentum behind them as well. So it'll be really interesting to see how they shape up. And then Kilmaine, under the management this season of Kevin Murphy, the Ballinrobe man, brother of the former Galway United and Derry City and Shamrock Rovers soccer player Alan Murphy. I gather there could be a few Kilmaine lads abroad or could have left the country by the time the club championship comes around, but you're never quite sure. Kevin is a very persuasive fella. And obviously Kilmaine will feel if they get everybody fit on the field, Oisin Mullen staying around as well, they'll feel they'll have a good crack at getting out of the group as well. But all I know is looking at those four teams, Rob, two teams are going to be absolutely heartbroken at the end of round three in group four, because you have four teams there that I would say right now believe they have what it takes to go and win an intermediate title. But two of them are gonna crash and burn, obviously, in the group stages. And again, just for context, first round, Kilchuma against Kilmaine, Kilmina against Hollymount Carrimore. Not a group, I think, to be dropping into your accumulators on a regular basis. I'd be avoiding group four of the intermediate championship, I think.
That'd be my game of the first round, your Kilmina, Hollymount Carrimore, because I've watched Kilmina in the All-Ireland final. Can't wait to see them up against a team like Hollymount Carrimore.
Yeah, that's an unbelievably tough group for Kilmina as well to come up. Like, I think if they get anyone else, they have a serious chance of making a quarter final. You know, now it's going to take a big, big, big performance in that group stage to get them through.
You could see them doing it though. You guys did this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You could. Hollymount Carrimore. But yeah, obviously bringing the two cones come back in, they're going to be very, very strong, but you know, their squad has been kind of dwindling over the past few seasons. I know they're training unbelievably hard these weeks, Monday, Wednesday, Friday job. And the long way to the championship yet. So I hope they can maintain that pace all the way through. Because Shamar aren't going to be as strong this year. They've lost Owen Lavin to Australia, I believe. I saw that transfer on the list there a few weeks back. Talk is they're going to lose a few other players as well. I know a few of the lads are actually playing soccer now as well. So that's a very winnable game for Kilmina if they get the performance in. Obviously, Kilmina are very, very, very very experienced, and Kilmina aren't. So would that go against them? But yeah, that's the ultimate group of death, I think, across the two, senior and intermediate.
Yeah, Edwin, I mean, you know, anything else to add? Because ultimately, if you're trying to, we can pick two teams out of it, but like anyone can win that group, and any one of those four sides could win the title.
Yeah, well, the way I would simplify it is that I would say all four are in the top eight, if not higher, in the intermediate championship. So that just shows you how competitive it is, and two of them are not going to be in the quarterfinals, and one of them is going to be in a relegation playoff. Very interested to see how Kilmina do. They obviously had a long winter, and they're, you know, back at it now a number of weeks, but I understand they have a few injuries. They have a couple of lads heading to America. So they're a team, I think, who can definitely make huge progress in the intermediate in the next couple of years. But their first group stage at intermediate level since they were relegated, I think, in 2008, is going to be an almighty battle to get out of it.
Mike, you got to go through the junior championship draw for us. Fire ahead.
Yeah, TF Royal Theatre exclusive junior football championship group one, Moygowna, Ballycastle, Eastern Gales and Kilcommon. I think safe to say that's definitely vying for the group of death category in the junior championship. A few big games coming there. Group two, Arda, Ballycroy, Swinford and Kilfyan. Group three, Kilmavie, Eilonady, Killala. That's a three-team group. Again, I don't see too many handy ones there. Too many handy points been picked up there. And then group four, you've got Achill, Turmacady, Lacken, and Shrewd Glencorrib. So, yeah, you've got obviously last year's beaten county finalists, Kilcommon in group one. You've got Eastern Gales who are building constantly in there as well. And then as you scan across the groups, you know, you've got Arda with James Carr on board. Sean Carey's back managing them again. Kilmavie will feel they have unfinished business after everything that happened last year. Eilonady, you know, always, like they're not that long down from intermediate. They're always a tough proposition in championship, as are Killala. Ger Flanagan can speak from personal experience. I remember a Ball Killala game a few years back that wasn't for the faint hearted. And then obviously, as Ed will tell you, I'm sure if Holly Mount Carrimore are doing three nights a week, Ed or Achill doing five at this stage, sure. are they ever off the training field?
Yeah, well, they're doing some sort of exercise anyway. If they're not on the training field, they're running the highways and the byways. And but yeah, it's interesting looking at it there. And you've Swinford as well, who were relegated last year, and they'll be hoping that they can possibly come straight back up. But I think the problem with the group stage at the junior championship, like the senior and intermediate, like they are extremely competitive, but at the group stage in the junior championship, you're effectively looking at almost three tiers, in the sense that you, in the old system, you had junior A, junior B, junior C, and B teams were mixed in those teams. And a few of these teams here would have been in the junior C championship. And we saw a couple of heavy defeats last year. And unfortunately that's going to happen again. And then there's a couple of teams in the middle that, you know, might be hoping to get to a quarterfinal, but that would be represent a good season for them. And then you have four or five teams who are very, you know, who are eyeing up the junior championship title. So you can, it's only really, with a couple of exceptions, it's only really at the quarterfinal stages that things will really get interesting. I think you've mentioned it there, Mike. Group one will be a battle. You know, Ballycastle, Eastern Gales, Kilcommon and Moygowna. And then you look at, you look across then at group three, Kilmavie, Eilonady and Killala, only two of those teams can come out. And group four, Turmacady, they're on the way back after a tough few years. You know, they're bringing through a lot of good young players. Achill, Lacken, who obviously struggled last year, and unfortunately the numbers game hasn't changed for them. And Shrewd, who, you know, aren't long down junior either. But, you know, will be hoping to point it in the right direction. But yeah, there'll be a couple of interesting games there, but it's just not quite as interesting as the other championships, just because there's a gulf between the teams that isn't the case at intermediate and senior.
Yeah, it'll get interesting though, as it always does when it gets to those last eight, as he said. All right, that's almost it for our chat on the games, but we have done a little bit of work in the background to finish this week with an experiment here in scoring the argument. I've got the lads. Here's what's going to happen. I've got the lads to rank their top nine teams. I don't know why I went with nine. I think there was some equation maths-wise that they had to do it this way. Top nine teams in the senior and intermediate championship. And what I'm going to get them to do, I'm going to quickly get them to make a case. You have to do it in about 10 to 15 seconds, guys. You get to make the case for the team that's first on your list, depending on how I draw it out. If your team is gone already, if someone's taken your team, you got to take the next team down on your list. And whether you like it or not, you got to make the case as to why you think they're going to win the championship. Whoever sells it best to me, I'm going to give it to. So I've done the draw. It's a draft. And in this following order, picking first will be Edwin, followed by Mike, followed by Jer. That's 1, 2, 3. And then as we go into the dark horses section, Jer will pick again for number 4. And we'll go in reverse order. So Edwin, you've got the first pick here on your list, who's your number one pick for winning the senior championship? And you got about 15 seconds to convince me of your argument.
Has to be Knockmore. I think, they weren't always at their best last year, but they got it done. And they've so much know-how, in 2020, they were young and inexperienced, but they're now an experienced team, but they still, their age profile is still very good. They've so much quality, they've so much balance around the team. You look like Kevin McLaughlin, Shane McHale, they're the elder statesmen, but there's so many players under 25. They can play it whatever way you want to play it. And that's the crucial thing for me, is that they can mix it up. If you want to play football, they play football. If you want to go into a battle, they'll go into a battle, and they're the team to beat for me.
Ooh, you got the easy one, but he argues it well. Number two in my draft is Mike Finnerty. You have to pick. You pick whoever's available on your list there.
Yeah, I. It may not come as a major surprise, Rob, to let the listeners in that I also was going to go with the team.
Can't do that now.
Exactly. So second on my list, Ballina Stephenites. I think their time is about to come. I think Niall Heffernan is he's into year two. David Clark is back. Joe Caffrey's back. They obviously have the county players, Pádraig O'Hara and Conor McStay, who'll have the benefit of a block of training done with Mayo over the last, 3-5 months. Okay, Joe mentioned that Evan Regan may or may not be available. I have a feeling when the chips are down, Evan will be playing with the Stephenites when they need him, if he can at all. And then you've got, in no particular order, Mikey Murray and Kieran Tracy will be back in harness, I gather, fit again, as will Sam Callanan and Frank and Jack Irwin. So I'd like to think that Ballina Stephenites will be thereabouts.
I was giving you the countdown clock there from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you did well. Both of you done well under pressure. Interesting. I'll tell you the score in a second. Jer, you picked number three here. And if your picks are gone, just the highest one available to you there. Off you go.
No, my picks weren't gone. Just... For the record, number one would have been Ballintubber. Number two would have been Knockmore. Number three is Westport.
So you're picking Ballintubber then. Tell us why they're going to win it.
One reason, Killian O'Connor is going to be returned. I think he's just, on his day, the best club footballer, as we proved in the Mayo News a couple of years ago. And I think anyone with the spine of Killian O'Connor, Michael Plunkett, Jason Gibbons, Jeremy O'Connor and Brian Walsh, along with the other lads they have, I think will go really, really, really far. I think there's going to be there's still another big push in the likes of Jason, the likes of Damien Coleman, these elder statesmen who've been seem to be hanging on for so long. But I think there's going to be another push. They're going to be hurting from last year. And I think when you come into October time and into that type of football, I think they have the experience and the style to win it.
Ooh, okay. I'll let you in the secret. Jer is leading on 4 points here, and I've given Mike and Edwin 3 points. Well, how my system works, I have no way of revealing to you right now. This is the dark horse section of the podcast. So what's left on your list? Who are the dark horses? And it's reverse order in the draft now. So Jer gets to go again, and he's kind of hinted at who his other team is. I think I know where this is going. Who's the highest team available now? And make the case why they might win. Not why they might, why you think they're going to win.
Highest team left is Westport. Very, very close. Gary Moore running with them. But I think Westport, just look at it goes without saying, the absolutely stack of talent they've had. They've added, obviously, Gaynor from Wicklow, I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, coming into the squad. They've been pushing and pushing over the last few years. They just have to go and win it now. Will they do it? I don't know. If the club football final was in the height of summer, I think they will win it. But As the year goes on and the football gets slower and the pitches get wetter, teams can catch them out like Belmont did last year. But with that talent, they have the ability to win it.
Interesting. Okay, who's next in the list? Reverse order. So Mike, make your case for your next available team.
Yeah, Gary Moore. Dark horse. Gary Moore. Yeah, I think I was really, really impressed with Gary Moore last year. They're going to be a year older, a year wiser. They were very well organized and coached by Damien Egan and Martin Maloney and the guys that were there last year. Imagine how much better they're going to be with Kieran Fitz and Kieran McGrath involved in the setup as well. Around the middle of the field, Shane Nally, Gary Golden, you've got Trevor Nally bombing on from the half-back line, and Kyle Slattery, I think, if he gets a run fit and free from injury, I think he could light up the club championship. So Yeah, Gary Moore for me, definitely a dark horse to watch out for.
Edwin's rubbing his brow there because I think he's gone well down in his list now, but he has to bring this passion for the case. Make the case for whoever is available. Let's hear it.
You know who you want to say, Ed.
No. Well, yeah, well, I thought I was doing well getting first pick start at the start, but obviously it's a long game. It's not a sprint. And I'm in serious spot now because I think the top five that we've named there are, I can't see anyone other than them winning it. So
this is not going to win the argument here.
I know. I've just given up. But no, so look, at number six, I had Belmullet. Number seven, I had Brafey. Eighth, Mitchell's, and nine, Balladreen. So I have to stick with Belmullet and on that basis. But, you know, they've lost a lot of players, but they've just, what they made about themselves last year, they made themselves so, so difficult to beat, so difficult to break down. So much good players coming through that were, you know, in the second or third year, maybe out of minor, and they really stepped up to the mark. Ryan O'Donoghue just was colossal in the championship last year. He was just unmarkable, you know. He got better with every single game. When you have a guy like him there, they're still going to be a hard team to beat.
Got an extra sneaky point there at the end because just the Ryan O'Donoghue factor just kind of sold me. But yeah, Mike's winning after that round. He landed on Gary Moore. And I don't know, Jerry, you started talking about the weather needs to be good for Westport. That didn't convince me very well there, I have to be honest. You didn't sell me on that one. All right. We have to go through the Intermediate Championship now very quickly before I tell you who's going to win. But right now, Finno's leading. The next draft, who's going to get first pick? I'll tell you who. Here we go. And it is Jura this time with Edwin at two and Mike at three. No bother to Mike, he's flying here. Intermediate champions, number one on your list. Make the case where they're going to win the title. Jura Flanagan.
This was the hardest group to make. I made this before training and I was looking at it. And genuinely, you could make a case for 9-10 teams to win this. Number one, Lewisburg. I think the return, Dylan Prendergast back last year, who missed all the whole season. Unbelievable forward. Can score off left, can score off the right, has the ability to win a game on his own. Kevin Gibbons will be back fully fit from injury. Add in the likes of Shane Allen, Padraig O'Malley, Padraig Prendergast. You know, they're a quality side. They've been pushing on the door for a long time now, and it's Lewisburg's time to win it.
Yeah, I'm extra biased here because I believe the same thing. Who did I say was second? I actually lost. Edwin, go for it.
Ballyhonus. I probably jumped across Mike's there now, but yeah, no, I
yes, you did, Ed. Yes, you did.
No, I think they know themselves. They left it behind them last year in the intermediate final, but I think in a very competitive intermediate championship last year, what set them out from other teams was a way to think their way around games. They're a very smart team, very well set up in all the games that they played. A lot of quality around the field. Jason and Jack Hoyne, Keith Higgins, you know, and very few, like I could see no weak links in them. Again, the intermediate final, that will define them, how they react and how they respond to that. But I just think they're a team that made massive progress in the last year. And I just think when things are so competitive, it requires a team with a lot of wherewithal, a lot of know-how. And I think Ballyhonus have that above and beyond anyone else in intermediate.
Good arguments. Mike, you're up.
Yeah, I'm up. And I wouldn't mind. I had a soliloquy written here to Ballyhonus's chances. But anyway, it'll have to go back on ice. Look, after a little bit of soul searching here in the last 15 seconds, Moy Davitts. I talked them up, obviously, when I was looking at the groups. I do think they're going to be in the frame, genuinely. I just think they're building as well. They're building for the last few years. They seem, from what I can gather, to be getting more of their best footballers back involved on the field. I do think the timing of the championship is going to stand to them as well. Brian Reap obviously had a serious knee injury that he had to get sorted. I would imagine by the time the club championship rolls around, he'll be back to his best. And I just think that if either of the big two, as I call them, if they slip up, then Moy Davitts are the type of team that would be more than capable of taking advantage.
Okay, you go again, Michael, based on my reverse order for the second round. Who's your dark horse then to follow on that?
Dark horse. Look, again, just if there's any justice to in the intermediate championship, which in my life experience there isn't. It's probably the one place on earth where fairness and justice never comes into it. It's just an absolute squid game of a club championship. Kilchamaw, you know, you don't necessarily get what you deserve in the intermediate championship, but like, spare a thought for Kilchamaw, be it finals, semi-finals, replays, you know, whatever sort of misfortune that could be visited on an intermediate team, it has come Kilchamaw's way over the last, again, insert number of years here. So I just think, again, they've got a really good squad of players. They've got so much experience. They just might get on a run, and maybe the new timing of the championship, you know, will suit them as well in terms of when it's coming to the boil. They've the sort of players that just might be able to get it done.
Not a bad argument. This is where the winning and the losing of this particular competition is, I think. How well you argue the case for the team down the pecking order. Edwin, who is your dark horse?
I'm going to go with Kiltane, just down from senior, and they were relegated in 2012 and came straight back up in 2013. And obviously it's a bit of time on since then, but the one issue I had with them last year was I didn't think they were fit enough. I didn't think they had enough conditioning work done. And I think if they can address that, they have a lot of quality. Any team that has a forward line that has Mikey Sweeney, Tommy Conroy, Ulton Corrigan and Adam Carabine in it will take serious stop. And I think they have a lot of power around the middle of the field. I think Mikey Conroy coming up from defence is a real good player. Martin Galler at wing back. They just have a lot of quality. And if they can get their act together and get a bit of momentum behind themselves, I think they have a lot of experience of big games, and I think that will stand to them.
That wasn't a bad one. Now, that was good. Your final argument, and why is it Ballinrobe that you think are going to win the intermediate championship?
I knew Ballinrobe were going to be safe, because around this time every year Mike completely plays down Ballinrobe's chances.
Have I been wrong in the last 20 years, Jer? not that often.
Yeah, you're just going to keep saying they're not going to win it, and they're not going to win it, they're not going to win it until they eventually do win it. But I actually had them number three on my list.
Oh, wow. So are they the case you're making?
Yeah. Well, they were number three. So Lewsburg, Ballyhonest, one and two, and Ballyhonest were number three as a dark horse. I think a couple of reasons. I think Peter Ford, if there's any man that's going to be able to steady that ship, it'll be him. I think they, you know, just had a shocking year last year. I think injuries went against them. I think everything that could have possibly gone wrong could have gone wrong. And they're stacked with young talent. You know, they've been an unbelievable young goalkeeper in Luke Jennings, brilliant centre back in Aaron McDonald. I understand Owen Gilrain will be back. Didn't he have a serious knee injury there last year? Kevin Quinn, obviously, quality forward. Joe Burke, if he's still there. You know, Darren McDonald is excellent on his day. I think if Peter can get them playing a right system where they're, you know, nice and tight and sticky in defence, and then they can unleash their forwards, they have the talent. And of course, Evan O'Brien in as well. How could I forget him? And, you know, there's a lot of really good footballers there. So definitely they're my dark horse.
Oh, that was a good argument. That was a 4-point argument. No one got a 5-point argument, but that was one of the 4-point arguments. I'll tell you more about that afterwards. But actually, these are the 4-point arguments we had. Mike's argument on Gary Moore had to give it 4 because it was the proper dark horse argument. Jer's argument on the old Ballintubber winning, that was also a 4-point argument because I just felt, you know, we've got to take him seriously. And biased-wise, Ballinrobe as well. Edwin was a consistent 3 all the way through. So here's the scores. Mike ends up with, let me just do it here, 7 plus 11 points for Mike. How does that stack up against Edwin? My God, if this is a tie, it's going to be a mess. 11 for Edwin. So hopefully, and yeah, 12 for Jer. Jer Flanagan is the first ever winner of the argument. Nice and close, lads. You all did quite well. And Jer just, you know, sucked up to the host by saying Ballinrobe will win the intermediate championship.
At the end there. That's the youth. That's the youth for you there now.
Gold star for Jer.
I'll take any victory I can get now over the next 6 months.
Well done, lads. That was fun. All right. That's it from us, folks. For our Patreon listeners, we have like literally 3 extra minutes in the any other business section of the podcast. But in the meantime, we'll talk to you soon.